Welcome back, children of the revolution. This is Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. here on Ace of Spades, pdx.blueberry.net. Your host, producer, audio engineer, researcher, webmaster, and writer for What You're Not Listening To, the audio educational and anthology series. And you know, being as old as I am, been around as long as I am, and done as many things as I have, gives me a very unique perspective on some things, and especially when we talk about historical importance. And today, we're going to be talking about punk rock in the 1980s. Yes. Yes, it existed. Green Day. Yes, it did. And we're going to be talking today. The title of this program is called Burning the Black Flag, and I'm just going to throw this out at you right now. Note, this program and post contain images, subject matter, and language some may find objectionable. This is your chance to opt out. No more whining about it later. Seriously, you've been warned. By the way, in the state of Oregon, I only need one person's consent. So, like, to make a recording and shit. So, there you go. All right, hey. Woohoo! Feeling pretty randy today. Sometimes I'm Susan. All right. And a whole lot of other things, baby. All right. And let me just remind a few people here. The Clash were billed by their major label marketing department. Let me repeat that. Their major label marketing department as the only band that matters. Not even realizing that they were already being surpassed by the most indie and most hardcore of them all. Today we're looking at Black Flag. There's a great deal of nostalgia that surrounds the Los Angeles punk and hardcore scene of the early 1980s. Many people who weren't there or lived in the more well-off neighborhoods romantically talk about the good old days and how cool it was. There is one thing they do get right. More often than not, it was pure. It was pure chaos is what it was. So at least they are partially correct. Being an outsider in Los Angeles wasn't hip, fun, or trendy in the early to mid-1980s. In fact, it pretty much not only got you ostracized, you were constantly hassled by your parents for listening to such filth. Your teachers looked down upon you as if you had tuberculosis. You got hassled by cool kids for being a freak, which included even those in the scene who felt you didn't fit in. And worst of all, you were always the target of the Los Angeles Police Department, sometimes violently, especially if you were poor like I was. Black Flag perfectly encapsulated that period of time and place in their music. Their records, a mix of punk, metal, freeform jazz, spoken word, and avant-garde noise, meant they didn't get played on the radio. Even an episode of the doctor drama Quincy derided the local punk scene. It truly was you against the world. Black Flag were once the voice of the poor, forgotten and dispossessed by everyone. They made some of the most intense records ever created, and yet they really didn't even see a dime for their constant hard work. The band was started by Greg Ginn out of all places, the South Bay area of Los Angeles, which was not only my birthplace, but my home until I was 17 in 1986. Some of the nearby schools were home to numerous preppies in the recently developed condominium areas. Gentrification was just beginning. But in most others, it was home to the poor and people of color who could not afford to move out. The area had a reputation for violence and shady characters, and the part of the South Bay I lived in the most, Wilmington, which is where the Los Angeles Harbor is, was filled with gangs, homeless camps, and drug dealers. The only thing worse were the cops, who knew they were far from the watchful eye of downtown and treated the place like their own hunting safari. Even though their notice among the police and rock critics was growing, Black Flag ended up with a bad business deal that pretty much forced them on the road for the next 3 years after their debut Damage was released in 1981. This is the Black Flag most people romanticize about, not realizing they were living hand-to-mouth in a van, touring across the country where they were often stiff for money owed by promoters or not even being allowed to play, leaving them truly starving many times. After a riot at a show opening for the Ramones in 84 on the Sunset Strip where the police attacked patrons at the Palladium, I know, I was there, the band started to show cracks. Through their ever-evolving lineup, which at times included Hispanics and a female bass player, they never could seem to break into the big time, or at least make enough money to stay alive. They laid the foundation of all alt-rock labels that would follow with SST, which Ginn founded just to release the band's recordings, but at a price far too high. As punk rock became more conservative with the rise of racist skinheads into the scene, the band decided to call it a day. I can't say I blame them whatsoever, but I would be absolutely lying if I told you I wasn't grateful. Indeed, even though I was some young queer junkie living in a broken down trailer with no water or electricity in an underdeveloped area known for scrapyards alongside the many homeless whom I would sit next to at the Beacon Street Mission on Broad Street, Black Flag reminded me that I had value, that someone was actually listening, that someone gave a damn, and that I too could have a voice. A powerful one. And, because of the touring the Black Flag did constantly, especially from 1981 through 1984, all over the country, you know, there was no internet at this time, right? It was really, truly word to mouth, because even the radio wouldn't play them because, you know, programmers and DJs really didn't know what to do with them. And they really just, I'm not going to lie to you. I was interning at a rock radio station, a commercial AOR rock station. They hated punk rock. They hated metal. They hated anything that was loud or fast. Sad, right? Even alternative rock and rock of the 80s shows like KROQ, you didn't hear these songs on their program. Seriously. I'm not saying that they didn't have value of any kind, but really, let's get serious. This is the real deal. And most people associate the band with Henry Rollins, and he was their vocalist for 5 years. He was the longest tenured vocalist they had, but they actually had four. Des Cadena, who eventually didn't want to be a vocalist, but switched eventually to rhythm guitar, was with the band for quite a while. Ron Reyes as well. And the next person you're going to hear, Keith Morris. This is Nervous Breakdown from the very first Black Flag EP on SST Records. And we'll see you at about the half-hour mark.
I am Rattus Norvegicus. I'm sitting in some shithole rat's nest, and I'm a little angry. I wanted to be a talk show host, not a rat. You men think you have it bad with women? Well, I've got it a lot worse, let me tell you. What am I going to say to some nice-looking girl who I want to meet? I can tread water for over 36 hours. I can chew through lead pipes and cinder blocks. I can run on telephone wires. And what if I do get the girl home? Can't fit her through the door. It's too small. Yeah, I got a lot of gripes. How would you like to have a tail the length of your body to drag around all the time? Not my idea of fun by a long shot. And do you see the neighborhoods that I'm forced to live in? Those people live like pigs. Can't catch the subway. They haven't built it yet. Can't catch the uptown bus. I can't reach the step up. Hey, taxi! And everyone wants to kill me, feed me drugs and poison, put electrodes in my head, make me run on treadmills, dissect, bisect, and infect me, bind, blind, maim, and tame me. Are you folks crazy? You never invite me to your parties as if I would really want to go anyhow. Have you ever asked me to go to a movie? How about bowling? Have you ever seen a rat cry? I got tears, and I have a heart, and I've got brains, and if you could just see past the fur, I think that you would see that I'm a lot like you.
Imagination. I've got a gun on my back.
Judge.
Children of the Revolution, this is Daddy Ben Bear, here with Ace of Spades, pdx.blueberry.net's What You're Not Listening To, and our tribute to Black Flag, here, January of 2020, yes, telling you the tea, just the way it was, you know, I'm not downing anyone for getting to go home, be safe, and go to bed, but you know, I really get tired of hearing, you know, people who had all this privilege talk about how wonderful the scene was. You know, because, you know, having a Black Flag record meant, you know, you were somehow cool or something like that. If you lived in Pasadena or the Pacific Palisades, you know, and out in the valley, right? Oh, you were one of the cool kids, right? Or whatever. Some of us were living it. You know, some of us are still living it. Let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our program, shall we? Kicked it all off from 1979, the title track to the Nervous Breakdown EP, the very first one by Black Flag. Following that was the very first song from their first full-length album. That was Henry Rollins there from 1981's Damaged. After that was Henry Rollins, a solo spoken word piece called Shed Reading Radis Norviticus. And it's kind of like, you know, when Henry is on, He's on. And sometimes it's like layers of an onion. You peel it, you peel it, you peel it, and you finally get to the core. This is really a song about racism. Yes. From the 84 album Family Man, which was half spoken word, and the other half was kind of these strange kind of free jazz instrumentals, which really alienated a whole bunch of people who thought they were cool and just couldn't deal with it. I thought it was brilliant. All right. This is probably nothing more punk rock than alienating your own audience, right? After that was the title track to the six-pack EP from 81. Following that was from the EP Jealous Again, Revenge from 1980. Three Nights from 1984's My War. By the way, Black Flag released three full-length LPs during the year 1984. After that was the B-side, the Louie Louie single from 81, Damaged One, which was Henry Rollins' first writing credit, and then featuring Henry Rollins singing lead vocal and also helping to co-write the song, 81's Damaged 2 from the album Damaged. And, yeah, it's all the things, baby. And our next track features Susie Gardner, who would eventually become one of the members of L7, singing along with Henry Rollins on a truly unsettling number here, where it seems that they're both drunk and he kind of pressures her into having sex and she says yes. Yes, so I told you this was going to be filled with things that most people don't want to hear. This is the title track to Slip It In from 84, and we will see you just before the grand finale.
Hey, mama. Come on, come on.
I don't know.
It.
All right.
Yeah. this is a new song. It's about drinking and driving, so we call it Drinking and Driving.
This is cool, and they're sure that they are the
All right, as we come back to the grand finale here on our Black Flag show, our tribute show here, reminiscing about the good old days, yes, living in poverty, being strung out on heroin, being beaten down by the police, being hated by everyone. Yeah, the good old days. And this was my soundtrack, or at least part of the soundtrack to those years for me. I'm Daddy Ben Bear here on what you're now listening to, the audio anthology and educational series, laying a little bit of light on you today. Okay. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our show, shall we? Kicked It All Off was the title track to Slip It In from 84. The Crazy Girl from In My Head followed that from 85. Loose Nut, also from 1985, from the album Loose Nut, and that was the last proper Black Flag record for decades. They did reform without Rollins, and there was, of course, the usual drama with the lead singers again. Oh, my God. Punk rock is drama. That's why we love it so much. It's kind of like TNT from being on the street. After that was a live version of Drinking and Driving from 1986 from Who's Got the 10.5-inch? maybe you've seen my video on the internet. Hey, don't tell tales of the school, baby. That was recorded here in Portland at a club that used to be called the Starry Night. Yes. Oh, the good old days, right? And the song we just heard again, TV Party, from the TV Party EP, slightly different from the version that appears on Damage from 1981. There isn't much more I can say that I already said. I'm sure I pissed a few people off. Well, you know, go tell on the mountain, Louise. Actually, because let me tell you, actually, it's not Louise. My apologies. It's Norma. As in, not a good look, Norma. Not a good look. You know, one of the reasons this show exists, if you went to, like, the About page, and where you hear me run my mouth about a whole lot of crazy BS, right? This show gives voice to dispossessed populations, and this show is coming through a very unique filter and lens, yes. You got a problem with it, you can do what I did. You can go down to the lab rizzle and teach yourself some new shit, okay? Or stop whining. more than likely, you probably won't stop whining, but please, I need more fodder. I need more ideas for these shows. The more it pisses you off, the more it makes me want to play. Hope you've enjoyed this. It's feeling very nostalgic. And this is me actually being slightly nostalgic. Not about the good old days, but, you know, I do think about the past more often than people realize. And it makes me grateful for today. Yes, it does. If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, and requests, you're always welcome. Please drop me an email at daddybenbear@gmail.com, because I've done Google. I'm done with your sorry ass. You've done drove me enough crazy. I've got bigger things to do in the 2020 and worrying about trying to fix my recapture. Love to you all, and thank you, Black Flag. From the album Slip It In, this is You're Not Evil from 1984. Love to you all. And our next show will be featuring the greatest mod rocker you never knew, the one and only Steve Marriott.